Today's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 14 and 15 selected verses, beginning in John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And continuing in chapter 15, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of the Lord.
Just sheets. Or it might be in my office. Who knows? If you hear the printer going. I had the distinct privilege in seminary, an individual who came a few different times named Joseph Son, T-S-O-N. He was from Romania. He had been a pastor during the time of Ceausescu. Now, you may or may not know that name, but Romania was more oppressive than the rest of the Soviet Union. It was one of those satellite blocks, wasn't technically part of it, but was certainly within the Soviet bloc, but not part of the Soviet Union. And at first, Joseph and other pastors said, oh, the church isn't meant to suffer. We'll just go along with this earthly government stuff. And he said they would even say things like, glory to Ceausescu, until it stuck in his craw, and he realized, I can't say that. I'm a Christian. And he also realized that the injustice was wrong of what was going on. And the setting the state up as supreme goes against the fact that God is supreme. Well, surprisingly, Ceausescu and his minions didn't like that. Or maybe not so surprising. And he would forever be imprisoned, released, and forever interrogated. And what happened was that he learned something. He would sit in his times of just prayer and just soaking in God's presence, saying, I have to face this difficulty. There's a scripture that promises, when they call you before the council, I will give you the word to say. He will be there and present. And so as they increasingly threatened him with greater and greater violence, including execution, he said to them something I've never forgotten. He said, your greatest weapon is to kill me. My greater weapon is to die. My words will be 10 times more powerful if you make me a martyr. And it just stunned me. And they didn't know quite what to do. And they continued to preach to him, or to interrogate him and torture him. And to finally, one of the interrogators said, I have to say, I'm accustomed when I interrogate prisoners to feel their hatred toward me. But you, I experience you loving me, and you actually make our time together a pleasure, which I thought was an odd choice for him. But there's a YouTube of Joseph Sohn preaching, and he says to it, and I think it's the key to his understanding how he could abide in this situation, how he could carry on. And that is simply that, this is how he, that he was overcoming torture by resting in Jesus. He said the Holy Spirit's major job is to make us fall in love with Jesus more and more. To really find that that's where our sufficiency is. We find our sufficiency is in the presence of God. And that presence of God comes as we look at the Holy Spirit. We're looking at these streams of renewal today that these weeks, that we've already looked at prayer, we've looked at holiness, and now we're looking at what's called the Spirit-filled life. It's a deep stream of renewal that we can draw from. And the next slide should be saying that God is more than sufficient, more than all that we need. Hey, that looks good. Let's see, what page am I on? He's more than sufficient for the challenges that we face. Because of the present power of the Holy Spirit, Carol got two copies. I think she's just going to read ahead. Because of the present power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have the greatest possible resources. This is important because we face, you know this, we face challenges and opportunities that require more from us than our mortal strength can supply. The Holy Spirit is the key ingredient for a spiritual life. To go back off script, so often we can say, well, we know God is our maker, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus saved us. Well, the Holy Spirit we feel like is a little nebulous that we can't quite nail him down. It's actually a good thing, but we were never intended to do what we are called to do without the Holy Spirit. So we need to learn to hear and obey the Spirit. So Joseph Sohn viewed his suffering as God's mean to accomplish God's purposes. Joseph witnessed guards coming to Christ while beating Christian prisoners and then confessing their faith and being imprisoned and tortured themselves. The gospel his persecutors had tried to dismiss touched them. Finally, in 1981, the Romanian government exiled him, and he would visit pretty much every year while I was at seminary from 82 to 85, and we'd see him there. There's a wonderful interview of him with Randy Alcorn that's available online, and Joseph says, "This world with all its evil is God's deliberately chosen environment for people to grow in their characters. The character and trustworthiness we form here, we take with us there, to heaven." Romans, 1 Peter 3:19, make clear that suffering is a grace from God. It is a grace given to us now to prepare us for living forever. St. John taught us that we love Jesus Christ because he first loved us. Jesus died so we wouldn't face death alone. And when he had ascended to heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit to be with every believer the way Jesus had been with the 12 who walked with him for 3 years. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we wouldn't walk alone. And Chris read to us from the Gospel of John there's a section in chapters 14 to 16. It's this wonderful discourse that Jesus made while presiding over what we know as the Last Supper. One of the most unique ways it's most striking, is his compassion. Later, after his resurrection, just before he was caught up into heaven, he promised them, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Holy Spirit was sent That was the way Jesus fulfilled his promise. In those verses that Chris read to us, Jesus first introduces the Holy Spirit as another advocate. An advocate takes your side, speaks for you. And that describes the heart of God towards everyone who becomes his child by trusting in him. But there's much more to understand by looking closely at this name for the Holy Spirit. It could be also written as another come alongside counselor. First, another. The language of the New Testament has two words for another. One of them we're very familiar with. That word is hetero, which where another clearly means different. But this is not that. This word for another is another just like the first one. If a light bulb goes out and I ask for another, or if I lose my sermon copy and I ask for another, hypothetically, Carol's going to get me one just like it, I hope. She's going to give me this kind of another, not hetero. This is the one I thought you should preach. So this word is the another just like it, another light bulb. I dropped that nail, could I have another one? The Holy Spirit has the same character as Jesus, which is an important test. The heart of the Son of God, witnessed by the apostles, recorded in the New Testament, is also the heart of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is another person of the Godhead. Another word you know that's part of this description of the Holy Spirit is para. We know a paralegal, someone works alongside a lawyer. We know a paraeducator works alongside a teacher. The para that the Holy Spirit is paired with is a word that means call to. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. Jesus, after all, came alongside of us, came to live among us, not just to make pronouncements from on high. Since this is the presence of God in the life of each believer who has the same character as Jesus, I'm suggesting the Holy Spirit is, after Jesus, another come alongside counselor. Every aspect Jesus describes of the work of the Spirit is comforting. Our Christian faith is unique because God is both beyond us, or above us, if you will. And also, he comes alongside of us. He wouldn't be great and worthy of praise if he wasn't both. In 50-cent words, God is both transcendent and immanent. To say Jesus is my friend only matters if your friend can do something for you, do what your soul desperately needs. By coming alongside us to comfort us, God frees us not only from loneliness, but also from powerlessness. No, whatever situation in, you are not powerless. He is the strength in our weakness. Later in our reading, we learn that the part of the Holy Spirit's purpose is to teach us. This restates what we already heard, that the Spirit would lead us into all truth. That's what a teacher does. This afternoon, Sarah will, among other things, tell those assembled about her understanding of God's call on her life. She knows her primary spiritual gift is as a teacher, which is hardly shocking if you've ever heard her preach or teach. She's gifted. She started teaching public school in Western Massachusetts, but God led her on a journey until she came to see that what he wanted her to teach was his truth, that the knowledge of who we belong to, of where true help can be found, true hope. That's the most important educational task. So listen for truth. Not just the words, but ask the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus promised you he would do. Lead you into all truth. Spirit is the teacher. And this teaching involves us all, body, mind, and spirit. We learn the ultimate truths when the Spirit brings to our mind what Jesus has said. Bring your whole self to the task of learning. Take it serious. It's our priority. The Spirit comes not only to teach, but also to testify. The Spirit will testify on my behalf, he says. You are also to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Testify is a legal term. What a witness does, telling the necessary truth, knowing they have an obligation to society to tell what they know. When people won't come forward, society suffers. We need to testify to what God has done, because many of our neighbors do not know that the God who made them loves them, that he does not want them to walk through their lives alone. The first Christians were very good at witnessing, but their testimony wasn't always welcome. The word that describes the witnessing that the Holy Spirit does, that Jesus says we are to do, came to have an additional meaning. Martyr is the word. It's literally a witness. You have to trust that God is at work. Which is exactly what Jesus promises in our final reading from John. Please listen as I read John 16, 7 to 15. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. We call that the conviction of sin. When Joseph Stone realized he had to stand up against the tyrant Ceausescu, it was because the Holy Spirit had convicted him of sin, thinking that human beings are more important than God Almighty. And this relates to our witnessing, because it is only our job to testify. It's the Spirit's job to convict. We are to tell what God has done, leave to God the convincing of those to whom you speak. Another description of the Spirit-filled way of life is the charismatic stream of renewal. Charismatic Christians and Pentecostal Christians are often known for celebrating and even emphasizing the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Charismata, literally grace gifts, from God by the Holy Spirit. And among the gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom and of knowledge. Knowledge is important, true information. In this age of the internet, we live in the information age. It's information. It's not necessarily important or true, right? But wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge, how to apply it. Because the Holy Spirit is Jesus' provision, so we won't have to walk alone. God gives believers gifts, including insight into what is true. By means of the Spirit. He keeps us from being defenseless when we go out there. When you talk about what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit, a very common reaction is for someone to express a concern about going off the deep end. And enthusiasm is a very good thing. Of course, becoming victim of a deception is not. And I've heard people blame the Holy Spirit for what really amounted to their own bad ideas. The flip side is, too many people don't make the effort to go beyond their own strength because they don't ever learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. But people want to ask, can I walk by the Spirit and still use my brain? Not only is the answer yes, but the full answer is you'd better. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Apostle Paul sent a good deal of his first letter to the Corinthians. He spent it teaching them about the Holy Spirit. The folk there said they were very spiritual, but there's immorality, there's a lack of love. Paul talked about the gifts of the Spirit and then wrote, "But now I will show you a more excellent way, including if I don't have love, I am nothing." And then in the next chapter, Paul warned against praying in unfruitful ways. So he resolved, "I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my mind." That's verse 15, by the way. It's wrong on the handout, but right on the screen. There's more we can all learn about how to pray with both the mind and the spirit. Use your mind. Study the Bible. Study the situation you're concerned about. Bring all that data before God. The apostles did this. There's a prayer, I think it's either the second or third chapter, of Acts. Begins, "Lord, you know that." And then they bring the scripture in as well. And as the Holy Spirit taught them how to apply God's word to a human situation, the Spirit of God moved in their situation. Great freedom and advancement of the gospel was the result. This may take time. Come before God, laying before him your agenda, your preconceptions, but be resolved to be obedient, to be true to his word. And one of the wonderful ways God blesses others through us by means of the Holy Spirit are these spiritual gifts. There are many of them, and even when you combine the lists of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, you haven't got all of them. But as Paul describes them, he says something very important that the Apostle Peter reiterates. Romans 12, 6, "Use whatever gift you have received, whatever gift you have received, to serve others." A spiritual Christian will not call attention to themselves. The truly spiritual exists for others. And don't be envious of other people's gifts or God's call on other people's lives. Take a lesson from Simon Peter's fish breakfast. Many of you know this story from the end of John's gospel. After the resurrection, Simon Peter was convinced he had ruined his relationship with Jesus by denying that he had even known Jesus. But Jesus, risen from the dead, appeared to Peter and cooked him a fish breakfast at the side of a lake, and they talked. Peter reaffirmed his love for Jesus. Jesus reinstated Peter and gave him a difficult assignment that included dying for Jesus. And then the Apostle John walked by, and Peter said to Jesus, "What about him?" And Jesus basically says, "Not your problem." He did say to Peter, "You follow me." We can't know what it is like to live someone else's life. You obey God's call on your life. So how do we act on this? How do we make real our call to live by the Spirit? I hope you can see that the life Jesus calls us to is not some intellectual assent to a list of doctrines. It's life with him, abiding friendship and fellowship with him, obeying him as his agents in this troubled world, working to expand the kingdom of God. We cannot do that without the Holy Spirit, the essential ingredient to an effective life. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he said, "Do not become drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit." The way Paul said that meant keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sometimes called the living water of God. The prophet Joel promised that God would pour out, water language, his Holy Spirit on all flesh, that our sons and daughters would prophesy. Problem is, we're leaky. We need to be refilled. We ask God to fill us up with himself so that our overflow into the lives of other people is worthwhile. You know, what comes out when they scratch you? Is it good or not so good? We need to not rest on past experience. Keep on being filled. So far in this series, we've explored prayer and holiness and now life in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. There's a connection because all the streams of renewal interconnect. Prayer allows us to be closely connected with God. We come to cherish that intimacy. Disobedience, the lack of holiness, wrecks that closeness. Therefore, we are motivated by the desire for that closeness, motivated to holiness. Keeping a close connection with God is what it means to live in and walk by the Spirit. Obedience and holiness will result. It happens by means of a prayer, a continual conversation and dialogue with God. Because we live in a fallen world, there will be challenging times. Some people will pretend to be spiritual. Some people will pretend to be Christians. They will assume that if you're a Christian, you are gullible. Bring your mind, your spirit, your whole self to answer the call of God. Be careful who you run after. Test the gifts of the Spirit by the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. Paul said the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If the person or the ministry does not exhibit these, beware. And let me close with the story of Chinese pastor Wang Yi. He was arrested December 9th of 2018. Foreseeing this circumstances, I found out he was first a legal expert and left being a lawyer for the government to become a pastor. But he foresaw that an arrest was coming. So in advance, he prepared a declaration to be published in the event he was detained for more than 48 hours. It's coming on 4 years. And as I read to you excerpts, you will see that it's the product of a believer who for many years has lived in close fellowship with the Lord by means of the Holy Spirit. So here's some of those excerpts. On the basis of the teachings of the Bible and the mission of the gospel, I respect the authorities God has established in China. Therefore, I submit to the historical and institutional arrangements of God in China. At the same time, I am filled with anger and disgust at the persecution of the church by this communist regime, depriving people of the freedoms of religion and conscience. But changing political institutions is not the mission I have been called to. All unrighteous politics and arbitrary laws make manifest the fact that true hope and a perfect society will never be found in the transformation of an earthly institution, but only in our sins being freely forgiven by Christ and in the hope of eternal life. I am joyfully willing to help my captors overcome their fear of my faith and of my Savior. Christ is eager and willing to forgive all who will turn from their sins. This is the goal of all the efforts of the church in China, to testify to the world about our Christ. For this reason, I accept that this communist regime has been allowed by God to rule temporarily. As the Lord's servant John Calvin said, wicked rulers are the judgment of God on a wicked people, to urge God's people to repent. Christ's great commission requires of us a great disobedience. Its goal is not to change this world, but to testify about another world. If God decides to use this communist regime to help more people through a wilderness of spiritual disillusionment, and through this to make them know Jesus, then I am joyfully willing to submit to God's plan. His plans are always benevolent and good. I have no fear about any social or political party. Jesus is the Christ, Son of the Eternal Living God. He died for sinners and rose to life for us. He is my King and the King of the whole earth, yesterday, today, and forever. I am his servant, and I am imprisoned because of this. I will resist in meekness those who resist God, and I will joyfully violate all laws that violate God's laws. Now, that'll get you in prison, but it'll get you a whole lot more, and we need that. The key ingredient to an effective life is walking by the Spirit, continuous fellowship with our Lord. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit present to each and every believer so we wouldn't walk alone. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we cannot live the life that needs to be lived without you. In the quiet of these times, in the solitude that comes by our closing our eyes in prayer, we want to open ourselves to you deeply. We ask, Lord, that you remove from us all that inhibits your work: unbelief, disobedience, commitments that conflict with what you would have us commit to. Take away ignorance and misunderstanding. Holy Spirit, come, course your living water, your mighty river through us. Cleanse us. And then, O Lord, please fill us. There are people in our lives who need your intervention. There are people in our lives who need hope, who need grace, some who need conviction. You have a role for us, Lord, and we want to be obedient to that. We need your strength to do it. Come into each heart in life, that we may be your agents on the path you have laid for each of us. Thank you that path has meeting points together. And so help us to support and encourage each other. Help us to be manifestations of your Spirit caring for each one. And grant, Lord, that we would be faithful and fearless and obedient. In continual prayer, in deepening obedience, in increasing reliance of and moving in the wonder of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.